Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, how artists work. We'll learn about the obsessive, sometimes abusive habits that have helped set the world's great minds to work. And the filmmaker behind a documentary that helped convict Guatemala's former president of genocide. But first, a potential disaster heating up in the Arab Gulf states. A raging fire gutted the Al-Hafit Tower late last month. That's a 20-story residential building in the United Arab Emirates city of Sharjah. It was not the first such blaze in the Arab Gulf states, home to a number of spectacular skyscrapers. Bill Law, Gulf analyst for the BBC News, spoke to one expert in the UAE who estimates that perhaps 70% of high-rise buildings in the Gulf could be highly flammable. And Bill Law is with us from the BBC in London. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, Virginia.
We mentioned the Al-Hafit Tower. Have there been other notable high-rise fires recently in the Gulf?
Well, yeah. I mean, there were a couple late last year in the United Arab Emirates. There have been fires in Kuwait. And there are concerns in other cities in the Gulf about these towers. I mean, the thing about the Gulf is, as anybody goes there knows, there's been an extraordinary explosion of building. It's almost as if these cities compete to see who can build the highest, the fastest, the flashiest building. And these downtown cores are staggering, really, particularly at night when you're driving along the Corniche to see these fabulously beautiful buildings all lit up. The problem with the buildings is that some of them have this highly flammable cladding. And one of the dilemmas that the authorities face and haven't grasped, I think, quite yet, is that no one knows for sure which buildings have got the highly inflammable cladding and which ones have the fire retardant or indeed the cladding that won't burn at all. So it's kind of a potluck scenario there.
Witnesses have described buildings bursting into flame, hurtling debris into the streets like a Roman candle, quote unquote. So this cladding, what is it exactly? Is it lining the buildings?
Well, it's basically a plastic, a thermoplastic core, and you'll see it on buildings a lot. It's very colorful. And it's held by aluminum, held in place by aluminum. And the advantage of this material is that it goes up quickly. It's very durable. It's easy to maintain. It's easy to clean. But the difficulty is that with the flammable cladding, that it catches fire and then it kind of explodes up these buildings, races up them. And as it burns, the aluminum melts and then the whole sort of flaming panel and the aluminum crash off of the building. They fall to the streets or they indeed fall into balconies below where the fire may have begun. And these fires can be caused by something as simple as someone having a charcoal cooker on their balcony or a cigarette that's left lying around. But it's the speed with which these fires take on and then run up the building. And as you say, then you get this spectacular effect. And, you know, some of the videos that you see at night that have been shot by people on iPhones are really extraordinary. And indeed, like a Roman candle, it's these huge chunks of flame material pitching off of these enormously tall towers, 40 to 60, sometimes even higher. And it's a real concern for the experts. I mean, one of the difficulties that these Gulf states face is that they have really competed against each other, if you will, to get the buildings up. In many instances, they don't even have the market need for the buildings, but they're still building them.
Well, that's we've heard, that some of these buildings are actually empty.
Yeah. Well, in Doha, for example, I was told that there's a 30% occupancy rate, and yet they're still building. So there's this kind of almost a mad competitive need to get the buildings up. But they haven't, what hasn't followed along is the regulation and the supervision and the overview and the ability for certain owners and certain construction companies to cut corners. Is quite easy, so they can basically get away with this. And you could be a perfectly honest owner, for example, and not be aware that the construction company is using a flammable cladding.
So
how would you know?
What's being done then to fix this problem?
Well, they have. The UAE, for example, has now passed tough new regulations, and they're saying any building that goes up now has to have the non-flammable cladding. That's good. They need now to really bring in the kind of enforcement so that someone that needs to be ensuring that the construction companies are using the appropriate material. Someone also needs to go around to these buildings and somehow figure out a way to determine, is this one with flammable cladding or is it not? And, and of course, the issue about refitting, I mean, you think about the problem. If you've got a 60 or 80 story building and you suddenly had to take all of that cladding off and put new cladding on, the costs are astronomical. So there's a kind of economic disincentive not to grasp the nettle. But a lot of these buildings, you know, there are expat families living in them. There are huge expat populations in all of these Gulf states. For example, Qatar has an indigenous population of 250,000 people and over 1 million population. So you have, what, 900,000 people who are expats. And these are people who come to the Gulf. They work there. They are in many cases paying very high rents or indeed purchasing very expensive, if they're allowed to, purchasing very expensive flats with no guarantee that what they've got isn't in effect a, you know, a potential fire trap. So it's a difficult situation because on the one hand, the officials know they've got a problem. On the other hand, they don't want to move because of the potential costs. Now, I suppose the other side of this story is that the insurers are now starting to get a little worried because thus far, although there have been several of these fires, there have been no loss of life, certainly in the most recent three. That may be just down to good luck. So the insurers are now perhaps the economic engine that will drive some kind of a solution, but it's difficult. And you know, I've been sort of following my story has bounced around Twitter sphere, if I can put it that way, a lot, and a lot of the expat websites have picked it up. And the questions they're asking are things like, how can we find out how do we know if we're living in a building? And the fact is, they can't know, and the officials have no way of being able to say to them, well, actually, this is a building that has safe class, or it's a building that does not.
Well, it's quite a story. Bill Law, I want to thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
Bill Law is Gulf analyst for the BBC News, and you'll find a link to his article on towering inferno fears for Gulf State high-rise blocks. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, coming up, how to nail a dictator. We're going to speak with a documentary filmmaker, and her footage helped indict General Efrain Rios Montt, who last week was convicted for his role in the genocide of 20,000 indigenous Guatemalans. That story on the power of a media when Word of Mouth continues.